Well, so we continue today in Siman Nun Hey Sif Yud Ches. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "In Kitzas Ha'asara Be'Beis HaKnesa, so Kitzasim Ba'azara." Some of the people are in the shul, and some of them are in the courtyard. Einon Mitzdarfin. They do not form to combine the minyan, or they do not say they do not combine to form the minyan. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, Kitzasim Ba'azara. This is true even if nine of them are in the shul and one of them is in the courtyard. So remember again, we saw in yesterday's halacha that this issue, that Lamaisa, again, if it's Rowan, if people are separated in different spaces, but they're able to see each other, they're able to go ahead and count towards the minyan. But the Mishnah Berurah says that really one should be Machmir and Lechatchila not rely on this, meaning ideally we want people in the same space. Halacha Yud Tes. I'm sorry. Einon Mitzdarfin, Nun Ches in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishum the Ein Sham Pirtza. Now remember, even though yesterday we spoke about the case of the two courtyards, and we spoke about certain circumstances, how the groups in the two courtyards could combine to form one cohesive group, that halacha does not apply over here, because since these two areas, the shul and the courtyard, are separated by a doorway that has the status of a partition, and therefore it's considered to be like two different homes. Therefore, again, if somebody's davening in a home, and that home has another room, but that room is not fully open into the larger room, the person who davens in the second room is separated from the tzibur, is considered to be davening biyechidos. However, again, so the idea over here is same theme, which is that when you have, and remember in yesterday's cases, let's say of the smaller courtyard and the larger courtyard, the reason why under certain circumstances those two groups could combine was because the smaller courtyard was fully open into the larger one. In these cases over here, you have a situation where the areas are not open into each other. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, again, they're considered to be like two rishuyos, and therefore, again, two different domains, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, people standing in both domains cannot combine. Now, that being said, the Mishnah Berurah says, if let's say you're in a house and there are multiple rooms, if the inner room could only be, you could only exit the inner room by walking through the larger room outside of the house, then the Mishnah Berurah says, b'di eved, it's considered to be one rishus. But again, the major message always is that we want everyone standing in the same space. Yutes, shliach tzibur b'teiba, v'tisha beis hakneses, mitzdarfin, So this is an interesting situation where let's say the shliach tzibor is in literally a teva, means like a closet. Let's say the shliach tzibor is literally in something, a closet or some type of smaller room, and there are nine in the shul. So ultimately, again, they combine. Why? Because this teva, this receptacle, is considered to be bottle, is considered to be void to the greater building, and therefore, again, it's as if they're all standing in the same rishos. The caveat, says the Mishnah Berurah, is as long as the walls, or I should say the partitions of this receptacle, do not reach all the way to the ceiling. If they reach all the way to the ceiling, then it could be that it's reckoned as a separate rishos, a separate domain, and therefore, again, that could be a problem with combining the members, the shliach tzibur, with the rest of the minyan. Chaf. If there are 10 people concentrated in one area and they're reciting Kaddish and Kedusha, even someone who is not with them is permitted to answer. Others say, however, that's only so if there's not either some type of filth or idolatry, idolatrous items in between the individual and the rest of the minyan. So as long as there's not something significant obstructing between the minyan and the individual could answer to to the minion statements. Writes the Mishnah Berurah Samech Sheinu Imahem. Wrote Zelom Rafilu Bebayis Acher Rochok Legamrei. Shekeven Shas Sarayim Bemakom Echad Shchina Shruya Bineihem. Va'az Afilu Mechitzah Shal Barzal Inam Afseches. Bein Kol Mi Sharot Zalatzarif Atzmo Im Avishu Hashemayim. Hashochim Misoch Elu Hasar. It's a very beautiful idea. Once you have a minion together, that means the Shechina is there. Once the Shechina, once the divine presence is there, therefore by definition, anyone who wants to kind of piggyback on that has the ability to do so, and therefore can answer Kaddish Kedusha. Yachal La'anos, Amen V'Amen, it's Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Samech Aleph. Amen V'Amen Yehishmei Rabba, U'Kedusha U'Baruchu, V'Chein Yachal La'otzi Yedei Chalasa B'Tfilam Eino Baki. So literally, he can go ahead and he can be part of the minion. So he can answer Kaddish, Amen, Yehishmei Rabba, Kedusha, Baruchu, and even if he does not know how to read Hebrew, he can be Yotz with the Chazaras Hashatz of the Tzibor. V'Yesh Omrim Shetzarech, The Mechaber and the Yesh Omrim gives this caveat that you could only do this if there's nothing separating you, let's say some type of filth or some type of idolatry. So the Mishnah Berurah just points out the fact that the Mechaber chooses to phrase this as a Yesh Omrim, some say, indicates to us that not everybody agrees with this. Therefore, again, for Amen Yehesh Meirabah, which are psukim, one could answer. But for Baruch Hu, which is not a pasuk, but is actually a response, perhaps one should not say under those circumstances. Shelo Yehei, Afilu Amen Eino Yochal La'anos L'dei Azuim Hu Mafsik. So according to this opinion, even if there's some type of filth or avodah zara in between the person and the rest of the minion, they can't even answer Amen. Tinuf, Rotzalam Afilu Hu Meruchak Mimenu Yosrim Arba Amos, Deba Amo Uter Dei Achzaras Panav, Ime Eino Magiel O Reach Ra, V'halcha Eino Mo, Kibin Shu Mafsik Bein Asara, U'Bein Zesh Rotzal Letzarif Imohem, Hu Mafsik Bein Ashchina V'Gorim L'Shchina Sheino Shora Bekan. So again, interestingly enough, even though in this case the filth is more than 4 amos away, but because that filthy item remains in between the individual and the minion, it prevents him from latching on. Akum, rotzlam avodas kochavim, o obeid kochavim. Interesting if this would be true, whether it's actual idolatry or even an idolater would cause a break between the individual and the minion. Chaf aleph, writes the Shulchan Aruch, ir she'in ba ela asara. Let's say you have a town that has a city that has exactly 10 men. And one of them wants to go away for the yamim noraim. We compel him to either stay or to hire someone else to come to the town to be the 10th. But if there are 11 men in the town and two of them want to leave for yamim noraim, yaskiru shneihem echad b'shutfus b'mkoman u'shneim yifru b'shaveh. Then the two of them are obligated to pay to hire someone else, and they split that cost between them. But if one of them is rich and one of them is poor, then ultimately, again, we pay half in accordance with their financial abilities and half in accordance with the number. We'll see what that means in just a moment. But the payment for the chazan ultimately again is shared by everyone, whether they're staying in town or they're going out of town. Writes the Mishnah Berurah b'mkomo, shekevan sheminag b'chol tfutzos Yisrael afilu osam shein la minyan shalim kol hashana sokhrin lamahed echor ushnayim b'yam noraim ohokhin lamakom minyan harei zedom l'sefer Torah beis haknesset shemini ha'ir kofin zeh. Because even those places, says the Mishnah Berurah, which don't normally have a minion throughout the year, everybody's makbid, everybody's careful to have a minion for Yamim No Ra'im, and even if that means hiring people. Therefore, by definition, when you are part of a community, it's almost as if you sign a written contract, or unwritten contract, I should say, to go ahead and help with the minion for Yamim No Ra'im. So if you are not going to be there, that's your prerogative, but you must hire the necessary personnel to be able to make the minion complete. Achada Savarotzim. Samech Zayin, v'hu adin shnei masar v'rotzim shlosha latzeis, o shlosha atzavrotzim arba latzeis, tzrichim kulam l'skrabicham b'shutfus. So remember again, once you get over 11, the halacha is the same. If you have 11 and two people want to leave, 12 and 3 people want to leave, 13 and 4 people want to leave. The idea is, however many people want to leave, that's fine, and they have to equally share the cost of hiring the replacement to keep the minyan. Chatzio writes the Mishneh Berurah Samaches, Ha'achron kasu detal soferhu, debazeh porim shteyim b'shavish, kol echad mechuyav la'amid yesh b'mkomo, shemetchila hayam minyan shalim v'ein rasha levatla minyan. So the Mishneh Berurah says that the wording of the Mechaber is a mistake. And in fact, what the Mechaber should say is that both the poor man and the rich man must share this cost equally, and must go ahead and each pay their portion, meaning 50%. The Havdinosin Chatzulafi Mamon, Hainu Kishain Darim Biyishuv Elashmona. The Srikham Liskoshnaim, the Astal Yigam Lafi Mamon, Kani Micholum Lachas Lirasmucha, Vashim Inyachon Lahaniach Besam or Rechusham. Now, the interesting part that'll come up is in a situation where, let's say, you only have 8 men. So, in that case, where you have to hire 2, in that case, then we'll take people's financial considerations into account, because Lamaisa, again, the Aniyim could always say, we'll just go somewhere else to catch the minyan, not necessarily to hire someone here. Therefore, because the rich people essentially need it more than the poor people, because the assumption is the rich people, because of their assets, do not have the ability just to pick up and leave. Therefore, they must share in a greater portion of the cost. Right, the Ramo. I'm sorry, Ala Yotzi, Mishneh Berurah Samechtes, Mi she'eno yachal lachzor lebeis ha'machmas onis, she'eno rashei lavo b'mdina, patra afilu higiyaz man haregel. If someone, again, is unable to return to his home because of some type of extenuating circumstance, then he is not obligated to pay for his replacement. V'dafklim hu anus mamish, avali machmas chov mamon opshia lo yuchal lavo lo yafsidu chaveret chalkam. But this is only if it's mamish extenuating circumstances. But if he can't return because he owes money or because of some kind of other debt, meaning through his own bad behavior, then he's absolutely on the hook for the cost of his replacement. This is true, however, again, only when talk all of these halachas are true in terms of completing the minyan and hiring the chazan. Aval estrog lo dami l'cholhani. But interest, I take this back. This Mishneh Berurah here is commenting on the cost for the chazan. So the Mishneh Berurah just points out that if somebody couldn't come back home because of extenuating circumstances, he still has to pay his portion for the chazan. If somebody was unable to come home because of extenuating circumstances, he does not have to pay his portion for the chazan. However, says the Mishneh Berurah, this is only true if it's a real onus, real extenuating circumstances. But if he can't return home because of circumstances that he created, he must still go ahead and pay the chazan portion. So the Mishneh Berurah says again, when it comes to an esrog, meaning a shared responsibility to purchase an esrog, we'll deal with that halacha later. So if you have small communities that have to hire a minyan and the chazan, and there are people who normally come to visit these small little villages during these times. It's an interesting case. So if you have a small village that anyway had to go ahead and hire people for a minyan, hire shliach tzibor, and it happens to be that a couple of families from another neighboring village decide to spend Yom Tov in this smaller village, those visiting families cannot be taxed to pay for the minyan or to pay for the chazan. Why? Because since the small village had to hire the minyan and the chazan anyway, therefore, again, the additional visitors cannot be taxed to bring in the minyan and to bring in the chazan. Let's just finish the Ramo. Hago vein chiluk beinim rotze leilich zman oruch kondem yom tov olo kol shalo yachzor biyom tov. So remember again, the Shulchan Aruch said that the payment for the chazan is upon everyone, whether they're leaving town or whether they're staying in town. So the Ramah just comments on this and he says, it makes no difference if you're leaving town a long time before Yom Tov, or you're not, or a short time before Yom Tov, or you're not going to return at all Yom Tov. If you live in the city, you are obligated to pay for the chazan. Well, so we will stop over here. We'll pick up with Sif Chaf Beis Emirat Hashem on Sunday. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos and a good evening.